Val Ordua-Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And we are at season four, the season four finale for Game of Thrones. Season four, episode 10, The Children. And it's obviously named for the little elf-like creatures that we see later on in the episode.
You call them Children of the Forest, is that?
Yeah, they said the first men called them the children, but, you know, they've been here ages, right? Or something like that. The director was Alex Graves. The teleplay was written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. And the original air date was June 18th, 2014. 7.1 million viewers tuned in to watch the season finale, which is just slightly less than two other episodes this season. So I'm surprised they didn't have the most viewership, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they got all apathetic after the
They took my stance on it.
The Viper's gone! It's a cycle. The Game of Thrones...
It's not even about the Viper. It's just about the lack of closure.
It's the Game of Thrones cycle, right? So you watch it, you're like, oh, I found my favorite character. They kill him, and then there's a bunch of shit you don't like, and you're like, I'm never watching this shit again. But then you come back, and you're like, wow! I found my new favorite character! And then they kill him, and then you're like, I don't fucking want to watch this shit anymore. But then you come back, and you're like, I found my new favorite character.
I'm sure there'll be more characters.
So, yeah.
They can't be done introducing characters.
There's nothing new in the opening sequence, so we'll jump right into the episode, where we begin at the wall, right after the last episode. Jon is walking out of the gate. He already looks too tired to be walking out of the gate.
Well, I mean, it took him a full week to just walk through the gate.
It did take him a full week to get through to the end of the tunnel there. The giant must have been, you know, super speed or something. But, you know, he's been fighting all night, so he's tired. And the first thing I notice is that, you know, maybe he didn't bring a weapon.
He didn't bring a weapon.
And he just marches straight into their camp. Because, you know, he's walking through the trees and all the wildlings come out behind him with their weapons. And I'm like, yeah, so much for stealth. I was like, because that's totally the way I would have went. But you called it. He's like, you know, no son of Ned Stark is just going to be sneaky about shit.
Yeah, there's no way.
Even though what he was eventually going to do was kind of dishonorable, right?
Murder Mance, yeah.
Yes.
And I have no idea how he planned to do that either. Like, even...
He was going to be opportunistic, right?
Yeah.
Which is what happened.
Just... Whatever comes, comes. Whatever happens, happens.
He just knew that Mance had to die.
Yeah, I'm just going to take whatever opportunity I happen to see.
So, which seems wrong, right? So if he's going to be honorable, then he should have just challenged him.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be sneaky, which is, you know, what he was going to try to do, he should have just been totally sneaky.
Yeah.
Went in at night, under the cover of dark.
Not only that,
killed him in his sleep.
There was no plan. There was no, like, I'm going to pull the knife hidden up my sleeve and stab him. No, it was just like, I have no weapons on me. I'll kill him with whatever they happen to have handy. In a room full of however many people. Because, like, they're just going to leave him alone with Mance.
Yeah, they don't leave him alone. He's never alone.
I know, that's the part I didn't get.
But you know, Mance actually earned some cool points in my book. Because he was being pretty hospitable, right?
Oh, yeah.
Welcomed him into his tent. Drank to the dead. To both their dead, right? So they drank to Ygritte, which they kind of shared.
Yep.
You know, John was in love with him. She was also a wildling and therefore in Mance's camp. And, you know, he asked about her, you know, what was her, you know, did she finally turn? I think he was worried that she was going to finally turn. But she didn't. She was wildling to the end.
And they had
She may have almost turned, but, you know.
I think she might have given a...
I think that she would have tried to take... I think she didn't know what the hell she was going to do. She didn't want to kill John, but she didn't want to betray the wildlings. So that's what happened. She got there, she didn't know what the hell she was going to do, and then that boy shot her.
Remove that equation from her hands completely.
Right. So, yeah. Totally eliminated any kind of opportunity she might have taken. They talk about the giant. So I guess the giant was the king of his people, last of a line. And then John smartly points out he was killed by Gryn, who was a farmer.
Yep. Killed Gryn.
Yeah. He killed Gryn. He was a farmer. You know, he may have not been the last of his line, you know, of the ancient race, of whatever. So they drink to Gryn and they drink to the giant. And then he gives him, you know, he offers him food. He's like, you know, I know he hasn't ate in a while, you know, because he's been busy fighting motherfuckers.
Yeah, busy killing people all night.
You know, and he asks him, he's like, you know, well, you know, how many, you know, you can't withstand too much more of this. You know, how many men do you have left? 50?
He knew. All this time they were trying to cover it up, and he knew.
Well, he knew that the Night's Watch was decimated. He was a former crow.
Yeah, but he didn't know how badly. And then
he hasn't been gone that long. I imagine it's been in a steady decline, and it was low numbers even when he was there. So he knows that this is impossible.
That entire first attack, I think, was just a probing attack.
I think it was like, I don't want to spend a lot of men, so we're going to go up there and see what we can do with the least amount of force as possible.
And then they knew exactly by how much fire was just coming down. Like,
right. I mean, he's not a... Mance is not dumb.
Yeah.
And, you know, he explained his situation. He's like, look, and he's being fair and honest. He's like, I've got 400 men that are climbing the wall. They won't all make it, but plenty will.
It's more than enough to...
It's more than enough to take, you know, if you don't give up now, because, you know... John's here saying that if he gives up and turns away, you know, that's the terms. And Mance is like, quit fucking lying to me. He's like, I'm being straight with you. I've got this many men. I've never lied to you from the beginning. You've always lied to us, you know. And, of course, John, you know, John's like, hey, I wasn't disloyal. I was loyal to the Watch. Halfan told me to kill him so I can come there and gain intelligence, and that's what I did. So, you know, John's right. He was not...
Yeah, he wasn't...
He was staying true... to his original mission. And I thought they were going to come to some kind of agreement here.
They look like they're about to. Well, I think when he had him, he had
him.
He
did have him.
He's like, not just about the about to kill him part, but about when he started talking about, I will make sure, we're not here to roll on South killing people. We're here to hide behind your wall.
That's right. You know, yeah, I think that it definitely caused him, well, it wasn't only that statement. It's like, look, we're not here to, I'm not here to be king south of the wall, is basically what Mance was saying, right?
He's
like, we've gathered all these people together, we're trying to get on the other side, because you know what's going to happen if we don't get on the other side of that wall.
Yep, you're going to have a...
Because John is
another 100,000 people to fight, and
that's
it's
right.
Not,
that's right, he knows. He's like, you know, you're stranding these people on the other side of the wall if you don't let us across. And he's like, if you don't let us across, then we're going to kill every last man.
And we're coming across anyway.
And we're coming across anyways. So, you know, he's like, I promise, if you let us across, no one else would die.
Do you think Mance could keep that promise, though?
I think he would try to keep that promise. But I think once the wildlings and the giants were on the inside of the wall, there would definitely be marauders. You know, they'd take off on there and they'd be like, woo, look at all this free, you know, all this. And Mance would have a hard time controlling the people. But I think his intent is true. He would, you know, he'd do everything in his power to keep...
Absolutely agree. He would do, he would do his best.
But then, you know, John, you know, he looks at that knife over there that they used to cut the meat, and all the guards, you know, is like, whoa, he's reaching for it, and he's like, oh, so that's what you came here to do after I've offered you food.
You came here to murder me.
Came here, yeah. He's like, is that what the Night's Watch is about? Is that what you're about? And that's what gave John pause. It's like, it was kind of like, oh, shit, what the hell am I doing? He's right.
Yep.
He's right. But then John didn't have time to think about it because there's a fucking cavalry coming. Giant motherfucking cavalry.
That was a lot of men.
It was a lot of men.
And you think about it, Mance had 100,000 people. I mean, obviously cavalry and the speed and advantage of cavalry is a bit more than you know, just numbers. But still, numbers count for something.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Mance's army is kind of ragtag.
Not only that, but they
volunteers,
were,
right?
Yeah.
So,
but they were in, you know, undergrowth forest, which doesn't really favor a horse.
That's guard. Right. They should have had the advantage, but I don't think they didn't come out and state that Mance's forces would have been overwhelmed. But Mance was not interested in losing any more people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so he's like, throw down your weapons. You know, it's not worth this fight. You know, because by the time that all said and done, then will it even be worth?
You saw a nice pincer move, too.
Right, yeah, they did come in from two directions there.
And I just saw the gold banners, and I and
well,
I, was like,
I knew
I
immediately, I was
is.
Like, shit, they Stannis is not going to King's Landing. Stannis came to the wall. I was going to say, I was surprised, and I kind of said my surprise on Facebook, but Nina Perez from Project Fandom was like, I don't know why everybody's surprised, because last season, Melisandre, you know, as she was burning the note or whatever, said that the real battle was
north.
At the wall.
Yeah, she's completely
so
right.
I guess I kind of thought that was, like, rhetorical, like, yeah, no shit, the real battle's at the wall, because, you know, you have the Night Walkers, but yeah. I still figured Stannis was going to try to secure the throne first.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And then you see that happen, though, and you're just like, I didn't know it was Stannis until you see him and Davos dismount and start walking towards. I'm like, wow.
I didn't know for sure, but this was obviously a well-disciplined force.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the only other well-disciplined force this big is not in play. There's no force this big at play right now.
Well, me and I remember, we were trying to figure it out, and somebody mentioned that they had seen, like, a stag. I'm like, isn't that the Baratheon crest?
Yeah.
What would they be doing here?
So it's the Golden Company, right?
Yeah.
Mance does point out something interesting, that they're not dressed for the cold.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, so...
I don't think
they're not dressed for
here.
The cold, are they prepared for it via Melisandre and her Lord of Light?
Yeah.
I wonder if
she
has something going on.
I don't know. I think I don't know what their plan is now. Are they just going to roll south now?
I think, yeah, so once they've secured the wall, maybe secured some additional firepower? Kind of, you know, like press the wildlings into service?
That's kind of what I'm wondering.
Because wildlings would be south of the wall then. I wonder if that's some kind of agreement they'll come up with.
I'd say let them man the freaking wall. Let the wildlings man the wall.
Oh. So strike an accord with the king. What? Here's the thing.
He doesn't know.
Stannis doesn't want anybody else claiming to be king.
Not only that, but he doesn't know what Mance is after either. He has no idea.
He has no clue that there's these White Walkers, unless Melisandre's clued him in, because I think Melisandre knows.
I think she knows more than she's letting on, right. Period.
But, and, you know, John's like, because he said, you know, burn the bodies. If you've seen what I've seen, burn the bodies. But, you know, that's getting ahead, because John actually saves Mance's life. So that, you know, because he's like, you're talking to the king of the Seven Kingdoms. And Mance is like, well, this isn't part of the Seven Kingdoms. And regardless,
I don't kneel.
I don't kneel.
We don't kneel.
Yeah, we don't kneel. None of us kneel. We don't kneel. And he's like, you know,
do I respect that.
He's like, do whatever. That's right. That, yeah. So, you know, it's like, he's done with this shit.
Yeah.
So we're free people. And I get the feeling that, you know, everybody who's flocked to Mance, it's made a choice. Mance hasn't pressed these people in the service. He's got some propaganda going on, like, hey, we need to get all together so that we can get south. It's the only safety in numbers. And that's what he's been able to do, and it's all, you know, it's everybody's free to be there or not. And you know, so it's kind of like a democratic thing, right?
Yeah.
So if we were to talk about factions relating to historical Earth, so the free people would be America. Right? So they're a bunch of misanthropes from another land that no one really understands, that they've been forgotten, right? So they originally part of somebody, but they've been forgotten, and they're trying out this new freedom shit that nobody really gives a shit about. So you have the wildlings up here. Mance goes and, you know, he's like, go ahead, take me prisoner, but I'm not kneeling.
Yeah.
And then Jon, you know, informs Stannis, hey, burn the bodies.
See, I've been losing a lot of respect for Stannis, that character.
I've never liked Stannis.
I liked him towards the beginning. I had some respect for him because he was a hardline dick. He was like Ned, but he was more hardline about it, though. I could respect that, even if I didn't really like that. I could respect that. But then, like, he just kind of became more and more of a dick, and he's listening to his actual, like, counsel less and less, and kind of doing his own
thing. No, he's listening to his counsel. The wrong one.
Yeah, the wrong one. But now, he was listening to Jon Snow. They burned the bodies.
Right, so, you know, he's like, Jon Snow, he's like, what would you have me do with this guy? And Jon Snow's like, look, this guy took me prisoner, and he could have tortured me, but he didn't. He treated me well. And, you know, my dad would, because he asked him, you know, you're the son of Ned Stark, what would Ned Stark do? And he's like, you know, my dad, seeing what I've seen, would take him prisoner. And then, you know, get some information out of him. Treat him well.
Yep.
So, because that's what it deserves. Because, you know, because his surrender was all based on, basically Stannis was saying, if you don't surrender, I'm going to kill all your people.
Because I don't have the food to feed him. I can't really take prisoners.
Right.
Which makes sense, because how do you take that many prisoners?
It is impossible to take that many prisoners. So you would have to kill them. And which is interesting if we're going to speculate here. So he doesn't look prepared. Not saying he doesn't have kind of some secret weapon with the God of Fire, Light, whatever, to keep everybody warm. He can't control all these prisoners. There's 100,000 men and giants here. You know, it's like, how's he going to... He can't control them. So he's got to figure out what the fuck he's going to do. Now, thinking about Melisandre, maybe the answer is to stake them all and burn as sacrifices. But I think they'll have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, agreed.
I think the attrition rate is too big. So I think you may have a point there when he's going to be like, hey, we'll let you on the other side as long as you man the wall.
I think once he has a conversation with him and finds out what he wants, and, like, I don't think Mance is that interested in being any kind of king.
Right, he just wants to get his people to safety.
Yeah.
So I think that could be some kind of conversation. He's like, look, you get us on the other side, I'm no longer king beyond the wall. Because, first of all, we're not beyond the wall. You know, I can see him, you know, taking that stance. I got my people where they need to be. So, and then we'll provide you with so many warriors or whatever to man the wall. Maybe. I don't know. What would the thing is, the wildlings, once they're on the other side of the wall.
What's going to happen there?
Are they going to treat Stannis as the king? I mean, what was their plan ever? Their plan right now is freedom. Or yeah. Safety. Not freedom, but safety.
But once you get there, what's the plan? Because I know you can't just squat on... I mean, not to say you couldn't, but...
Well, they have a big enough force, they could squat on the north,
that's
right?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But eventually, someone's going to come up there to uproot, you know. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, you know, something's going to happen.
It'll happen sooner.
And I think they probably didn't have a plan. Their plan is like, just let's get to safety. Let's get away from the White Walkers. I'd much rather deal with the Southerners.
Yeah, than the White Walkers.
Than the White Walkers.
And I think we can all appreciate that stance.
That's interesting. And of course, for a slight moment, I was like, yes, this is the moment where Jon takes control of the wildlings. But then, you know, that was all shot to hell. We'll see. So, leaving Stannis in the north, we go to King's Landing, and I'm like, what the fuck? I knew that motherfucker was not dead at the end of the Viper in the Mountain.
I was not sure.
I mean, I wasn't sure, but I was like, because we asked the question, is he dead? And then, no, the fucking mountain's barely clinging to the
light. But did you hear what they were saying? The dude was poisoned. He absolutely is poisoned.
Manticore poison, yeah, right?
Yeah. Some deadly shit, apparently.
Yeah, because, you know, Cersei's cursing the Martells, right? Because I guess they're known for this poison. He's a poison, you know, the Viper. Right? He got bit hardcore. And there's an argument between Qyburn, former Maester Qyburn, or former almost Maester Qyburn. I guess he never actually became a Maester before he was kicked out. And Grand Maester Pycelle. So Pycelle's like, there's nothing to be done. You know, Manticore poison's terminal.
Yeah.
So, but Qyburn's like, no, there may be a way. And then Pycelle's like, yeah, you know, there's a reason why he was kicked out, because he had an unnatural curiosity, right?
Yeah. Why are you letting him do this? This is stupid.
But Cersei fucking dismisses Pycelle. It's like, you're dismissed. Gone.
I'm sorry. I do like to see Pycelle get...
I'd like him to get shit on, too, man. Yeah. He is a fucking crotchety old pervert.
Yeah.
And anytime he gets thrown in the dungeons or shit on by Cersei, I love it.
Yep.
Pycelle is the one person I don't mind Cersei being a bitch to.
Agreed. Agreed.
And so Cersei dismisses him and tells Qyburn, do whatever you have to. And Qyburn gives a warning, right? Like, he may be changed after this. He's like, it's not guaranteed that I'll save him. But if I do save his life, he's probably not going to be the same. And she's like, is it going to be weaker? Nope. So there's some Dr. Frankenstein shit going on here.
Oh, yeah.
So he starts like some kind of blood transfusion, right?
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Which looks like way modern medicine for the medieval period it's in. So I've brought it up before that he was a vivisectionist. So he flayed people, maybe alive and dead. So he's the Dr. Frankenstein archetype.
With disease and without.
He's the Dr. Frankenstein archetype, right? He does all sorts of shit all in the name for science.
Yep.
Which may be questionable morality-wise. But it's all about gaining knowledge. He got kicked out of the College of Meisters.
What do you call the Citadel?
The Citadel, that's it. He got kicked out of the Citadel for his unnatural curiosity. So I can imagine he's like, he's a proto-Frankenstein. You know, he's the Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein archetype. Which begs the question, what is going to happen to the mountain?
I have no idea.
He is coming back. So, if he was going to die, they wouldn't go through this whole thing with Qyburn doing his grand experiment.
I may be able to save him, yeah.
Yeah, so he's coming back. He won't be the same. He's going to be different. So, I am putting my...
Literal mountain.
I'm putting my bets on he's going to be some kind of Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, there's no way. If he's going to... I don't think that was just casual mentioning, oh, he'll be changed. Is he going to be weaker? No. Nope. There's something going on.
Yeah, it was a hard no, too. It was like, no, like, in parentheses, maybe he'll be even stronger.
Yeah, like...
Like a machine, right? Yep,
exactly.
So, a machine. So, maybe not quite necessarily along the same lines as Frankenstein's monster, who was still basically human because he was made from human parts and then given life by the doctor. This guy already had life, but maybe he's going to use...
creature parts.
Like, maybe there's even a steampunky vibe going on. We don't know.
Literally mountain.
Yeah. So he's going to be... Yeah, my bet is on some kind of scientific monster the mountain becomes.
I can definitely...
Which is going to suck for whoever goes up against him later.
Yep.
Yeah. Which maybe will be a dragon. I don't know. And then after Cersei leaves Dr. Frankenstein, known as Qyburn,
she's to deal with the mountain. Busy... confronting Tywin.
She's making her rounds, right? So she goes to Tywin, and basically, you know, what does she want?
She's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not marrying Loras. That's it.
And he's Game like, over. No. He's like, we've already been over this. You're betrothed to Loras. You're still betrothed to Loras. And then what does she threaten?
Didn't she say she'd...
To tell the truth.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'll tell the... What, he's like, what are you going to do? And she's like, I'll tell the truth. And he's like, what truth? And so, you know, this is where Tywin's ignorance comes in. Because she's right. She's like, you really don't know. You never believed it.
Nope, I don't think he ever did. It was pretty plain for most people to see.
Yeah, well, he's wrapped up in this idea of family, right? So he's got this archetype family thing in his head. And, like, nothing... nothing breaks that image or something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, I think that's why he always
straight wanted, up didn't see it because we are your family. Because
he tries to get rid of things that don't fit.
Yep.
Like his imp son, Tyrion. And so she reveals the truth. Like, hey, all that rumor shit that our children are products of incest? Yeah, that's true, and I'll let everybody know. But Tyrion's like, I don't believe you. The question is, now that she's told him...
How much would that actually tarnish their name? Because, I mean, the truth's kind of already out there.
Yeah, but it'd be different coming from Cersei.
Yeah.
Because then it'd be undeniable fact that they don't belong in the throne.
Do you think that would change anything, though, if that...
Well, no. I mean, they're still in control, but it... Yeah, they would be known as the...
Usurpers.
Yeah, or the, you know, fake... Everybody's a fucking usurper, as far as I'm concerned. You usurp the control from someone.
Yeah.
So, but when he says, I don't believe you, is he saying, I don't believe you that your kids are the product of incest, or I don't believe you that you'll reveal the truth?
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Because she walks away saying, no, you believe me.
I think it was the latter.
Yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't believe that she'll spill her guts.
I don't know.
I think she would, just to spite the motherfucker. Because she wants to stay with her, with Tommen.
Yeah, that's her goal, right? Because she said, the moment I marry Loras, you're going to ship me off to Highgarden,
right.
And I'm never going to see my kid again. And you and Marjorie are just going to
fight over Tommen. Yeah, which is what will happen. Apart
and destroy him. Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be destroyed, but he'd definitely be at the center.
That's what she believes, though.
Yeah, that's what she believes.
There's going to be nothing left of him when you two are done.
And so her plan didn't outright work with Tywin, so she goes to Jaime. And I don't think this is because she loves him.
Nope.
I think this is because she needs another ally.
Yep.
Yeah, so then they start fucking in the captain of the King's Guard's planning room or whatever.
Yeah, whatever room that is.
And they're like, people will come in. She's like, I don't care. And so I'm like, gross. I hope these two die soon.
I just think, wow, she's treated him like shit and, you know, the whole other thing that happened.
Yeah, because, you know, Jamie's like, well, are you happy? Our brother's dead. And she's like, he's no family of mine. He's like, well, yeah, he is family. And
yep.
No, it's only who I choose to be family. And basically she tells him that she has written off Tywin and told him the truth. And Jamie's like, what the fuck? And then she starts kissing on him and he forgets all that shit. So we go from the incest scene to Meereen. And we see an old man has come to tell Dany, Finez. And basically he's like... He's telling her about how rough it is, you know, about how, like, when I was a slave, I had a purpose. You know, people liked me. I was the teacher to my master's children.
I was treated well.
Right. I was treated well. And, you know, now that you freed us, he said, we both agreed that, you know, I couldn't stay there. And so I guess they have these shelters set up all over the city, mess halls or whatever, where they feed and shelter these slaves who don't have homes. But then he reveals, you know, like, hey, you know, these places are where the young take advantage of the old. And, you know, if we try to resist, they beat us and all this stuff. And she's like, well, you know, the Unsullied will take care of that shit right quick. He's like, well, that's not the point. He's like,
he does have a major point here.
I want to be a slave because I'm too old to change.
Not only that, but he has no purpose now. What, I mean, how do you...
I don't give a shit. He has a point, but it's only because, hey, look, just because you're not motivated, I don't give a shit. Like, no, you can't become a slave again.
Agreed.
But, you know, Dany has a point, right. So if she removes that decision from him... Like, then it's not, she hasn't given them freedom. She's made them
she's forced them to freedom.
She's forced them, you know. It's kind of like, like America coming to foreign countries and you'll have our democracy and we shove it down their throat, which obviously, if anybody's paying attention to the news, has not worked out.
No.
And you can't do that. You can't just, it's hard to force an ideology upon people, especially when they're used to something. You can't just come in and be like, this is the way things should be. It's all fucking awesome. And then you force it because, you know, some people love it. Some people are afraid of it. A lot of people are afraid of it. Because
a lot of people are just afraid of the change.
It is afraid of change. You know, like, this is fucking up how I fucking live. But I think she comes to a pretty good...
Yeah, I like that decision.
You know, it's like, okay, well, you can have a contract, right? Contract till I last no more than a year with your master. And I think that would be... That's the key, right? So these people need to be compensated. But they need to have their freedom to stay or go. That's... You know,
agreed.
They can continue doing the services that they provide.
I don't understand why that wasn't established.
Yeah, that should have been early on. I mean,
like, you might be a slave, but why can't you slave getting paid for it?
It's a long, painful process. It's like if you look at American history when the Emancipation Proclamation happened, same thing happened, right? I imagine. Well, I don't know. I'm not detailed with you know, antebellum American history. What, you know, all those slaves were all of a sudden had no homes or no jobs. if they weren't slaves, right?
Yeah. What do you? I mean, so that means there has to be
some kind of transition
situation
between, you know, like slave to
standing
worker
on your own 2 feet. Yeah, slave to.
You know, there. I don't know. How did we do that? I think we failed because it's been a long fucking road. We're still trying to fix that, right? Because there's obviously a gap.
How do you empower an entire
people?
Like,
yeah, well, that and reparations. How do you make that reparation?
Yeah.
To you know, these people that were slaves. I mean, how... The problem's so monumental, I can't fucking wrap my head around it. You know, because no matter what solution you put in, there's issues with that solution. For instance, the contract thing that Barristan brought, you know, hey, the masters are going to take advantage of this contract shit. It's going to be like, they're going to be slaves in all but name only. Which I think happened in the American South, right?
Yeah.
So they were still serving white people up until fucking, I guess, still today. There probably is, it's like that to some extent.
You pay little enough, and there's
well, that and you know, you had Jim Crow laws. I can just imagine what's going to happen in this city. They're going to be segregated and treated as filth by the people who have money, anyways. Because these guys have no money, and they have no way of increasing their you know, like, how do they climb the class ladder from slave to free man to, you know, aristocrat even. I mean, how do you do that?
Yep.
So these are big problems that I think that a work of fiction is going to have to gloss over, to be honest.
Yep, agreed. Because how do you... It's basically about rights, right? You have to convince people that they have rights, and you have to convince the other people that those people have rights.
That's right, that they deserve them,
yeah,
too. Not just that they have them, but that they deserve them, which is two totally different things.
Someone can just be able to come to you, I have rights, motherfucker, and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you got to do this.
Or even if it's law, right? So yeah, they're supposed to be free. But that's not how I treat them or how I feel.
Yeah,
about
and it's not like
you're gonna have, you know, it's a long.
It's not like every slave is going to have an Unsully backing them.
It's a hard process to change a culture.
Yeah.
It takes hundreds of years. But that's not the only problem, right? So we see a farmer comes in, or a shepherd, I'm guessing, with a coddled infant, except the infant is dead because Danny's dragon, Drogon,
yep,
came in and toasted it, basically. From what I understand, came from the sky with its fire, which upsets Dany, you know.
Oh yeah.
And we see the closing scene is her leading her two other dragons. So Drogon's gone. Sailors last saw them flying over some cliff.
And this went back to my theory, because my original theory, like, one of the things that I wanted to happen in this episode that I felt would have been the ultimate appeasement of my sensibilities was that one of these dragons flew off and demolished King's Landing and Tyrion flew away on its back.
Yeah.
To save Tyrion, and they flew off in
its
sunset.
Resurrected Oberyn in its fire, and they both flew off on their back. But
yes! Why didn't that happen?
Why did it happen?
King's Landing on fire.
Drogon's flying away. That could be some speculation we can talk about later, but she leads the other two down to the catacombs and chains them up. It was all very sad. She was tearful. I didn't fucking bother me in the least bit.
Nope.
Marches out and then closes the catacombs behind her. They were upset, screaming mommy and dragon or whatever the hell.
My question is, how did the Targaryens deal with this problem before? Because obviously...
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess they were better trainers.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe they were better trained. Maybe,
I mean, she hasn't had a lot of time. I don't know. Maybe she has a lot of time on the road marching between sacking cities.
And she didn't do much training?
She doesn't know how. I mean, maybe she just thought because they took a, you know, were fond of her when they first hatched that she didn't need to. I mean, it's obviously there is some, they've made a point that they've trained her, that she's trained them somehow because she can get them to breathe fire on command, right?
Yeah.
It's incomplete. Or maybe you just, maybe dragons just do this shit. Because do you think the Mad King, all we, that we know about him, would
like,
give a shit if some guy fucking
totally
gets burnt?
Yeah.
From, well, who gives a fuck?
I can maybe deal with all the other Targaryen kings before him.
Yeah, this is just what happens when you have dragons. Who knows? But where do you think Drogon's going?
I have no idea.
Maybe he thinks Jorah is his daddy and he's going after him to find his daddy.
That would be sweet.
And then Jorah comes riding back on the dragons on Drogon. Leading some kind of army.
Done. Yep. Done.
To get her that. Or maybe what happens is, because we're trying to answer the question, what the fuck gets Dany out of Meereen in Slaver's Bay? Maybe the answer is the dragons freak the fuck out, destroy everything from the inside out, and she's left with nothing and then has to move on.
That may be the case. Maybe that's...
So, yeah, I don't know. But after the confinement of the dragons, we go back to the wall.
Well, yeah, I think even at...
No, you still want to talk about the dragons.
I'm just thinking of... I'm just thinking, you remember seeing the skulls in the bottom of King's Landing, like dragon-like skulls and whatnot.
Right.
And
well, I think they just kept them after they died.
Yeah, but I'm thinking they probably had some chambers underneath there where they actually kept the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Can't think they just let them loose.
I don't know. Mad King would probably just let him loose. But I don't think he had any dragons. Dragons have been dead for ages. But
yeah.
So we go back to the wall, and we see that they're doing a funeral for the Night's Watch. There's a lot of dead Night's Watch. Yep. And their watch has ended.
Yep.
Permanently. And we see that Stannis and company, so Davos and his wife and child, are all standing there presiding over the Night's Watch funeral. Jon starts setting the fire right after the rites are done.
Yep.
And then through the fire, whose face do they lock gaze with? Who? Who?
And Melisandre.
Melisandre and Jon Snow.
Creepy staring.
If there could be two staring. Almost opposite people, you know, snow and fire here, locking gaze with each other. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Melisandre's like, ooh, powerful blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, Jon's lineage is kind of suspect, isn't it?
Yeah. So, way back in the first season, so there's questions. It's obviously questionable about Jon's lineage. As far as we know, as far as we've given the information, he is the bastard son of Ned Stark. He went to war, he came back with a son. Catelyn always treated him like shit because, you know, Jon cheated on, or, I mean, Ned cheated on.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. But thing is, Ned is such a fucking stubborn ass. He sticks to his code no matter fucking what, which is why he ended up headless. That, you know, there's a question about, well, Ned wouldn't cheat. So there's the question about, you know, who is Jon really? Who's Jon's parents really? And, you know, we kind of got a taste of that. There's kind of a hint or foreshadow in the first season, you know, like Jon's going north to the wall, right? And he's like, you know, will you ever tell me about my mom? And he's like, sometime. So there is a question about who's Jon's, definitely who is Jon's mother? It's not just a whore, right?
Yeah.
And is Ned really his dad? We don't know. So there's, you know, questions that it's actually his sister's son. I mean, that's the rumors. Lots of rumors out there. You can, if you don't mind being spoiled, you can probably get on Reddit and search to your heart's content.
I'm always afraid of it, like, because I really want to do research around some of this stuff, but it's like,
yeah, I just same don't. Time. So, you know, I'll just speculate. So there's a question to his parentage. Maybe because Melisandre knows a lot of shit that maybe she has no fucking real, no honest way of knowing. You know what I mean? Like, that there's White Walkers north of the wall.
Yeah.
Or that anything's happening north of the wall. Maybe Melisandre knows something.
I think so.
So, and then that's who will reveal these secrets or whatever that everybody's pondering. Hell, maybe Jon is the rightful heir to the throne. Who the fuck knows, man? Who knows? Wouldn't that fucking put Stannis' panties in a twist?
Yeah, that would. Yeah.
If that was true, like, yeah. He was actually the rightful, you know, like, Baratheon's true son or something.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Which I doubt. Which I'm not, that's not what I'm saying, but, yeah. You know.
All that.
He may have an older tie to the throne, though, right? So Targaryens were in charge of it first. Maybe he's really a Targaryen. So we leave the wall and go even further north. Bran, Hodor, Jojen, and Meera arrive at the fabled Godswood that they've been having visions about. And as they're making their way towards the tree, this is like the first time I've ever been startled on Game of Thrones. That Agreed. Fucking hand comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And snatches Jojen by his ankle. Holy shit, I jumped.
I was like, shit,
I loved shit, it, though. Shit. Yeah. And so all these hands start popping. It's like I've made the Castlevania reference before, but yeah, this totally feels like Castlevania, where the hands come out and grab you and you have to whip the hands. And so these skeletons jump up out of the, obviously they're whites or whatever's whites when they don't have any flesh left, right?
Yeah.
So undead, classic pretty undead old, skeletons, yeah. Right? Come out and start attacking everyone. There's some Hodor warging, right? Because Jojen can't escape and Meera's trying to fight her own battle. So Bran wargs into Hodor and he beats some ass, but Jojen's like, sees the skeletons coming up behind Bran, is like, save yourself, you know, save yourself. And then we see fireballs.
Those are some pretty sweet fireballs.
Those are some sweet fireballs coming from a kid, right? Or something that looks like a kid. And then we see the headless body of the skeleton reach for a knife and then like stab. It was very like reminiscent of the Red Wedding, right?
Oh, yeah.
So stabbing
just,
in the gut.
Just continue stabbing.
And there's, like, he doesn't even scream, which makes it even more
kind of creepy.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, and creepy.
He's just like, I know what's going to happen.
Meera gets there. The child says, hey, he's dead, leave him. And so that's what Jojen says, too, right? It's like,
yeah.
Hey, you got to go. I'm not going to survive this shit. We've already seen what happens to gut wounds.
Yeah.
And so they all rush towards the cave, or what looks like a cave. I guess it's actually the roots of the tree, right?
Yeah.
So it's a cave inside the tree.
Did you see her throw one last fireball and smoke Jojen?
Yes. That was, I think that was kind of like to spare him.
Yeah.
Kind of burning the bodies, right? So it spares him the life of a white.
Yep.
But I'm just thinking, man, couldn't those fireballs come out like 15 seconds earlier?
Yeah.
And then everybody could have made it.
Yep.
So you think, is that the vision Jojen had of himself on fire?
I think so.
Except it was more of an explosion. It wasn't really just fire.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. And when he clearly blew himself, he blew himself on fire. But
right. But I guess you can't really take a vision of your hand. Explode. It would be hard to do a vision of your hand exploding and understand what the hell it is.
Yeah. Now, I'm told he actually lived in the books. He's still alive.
I don't know. He's still alive in the books? That's he must die told. In the books.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Big spoiler for book readers. Jojen dies in the books. You haven't got that far yet? Oops. Because George R. R. Martin hasn't written that chapter? I don't know. So he probably
That's what I'm told.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't die in the scene, but I bet he eventually dies and just saves us a bunch of bullshit. So they get inside and then the skeletons come running, but then they explode as they hit. It's like undead wards. Thou shalt not pass. The power that animates them has no power in this tree.
Think it's that tree? You think it is the tree? I think it's the tree.
I don't know if it's...
Old gods?
I don't know if it's... Because... So there's an old guy hanging in the roots, right?
Yeah.
He's obviously not a child of the forest.
Oh, yeah.
So, which I'm going to call fairies or elves. So, the girl, or maybe it was a young boy, I don't know. The child, the thing of the first men called children, are really fae. So they're kind of, you know, fairies or elves or pixies, whatever.
Yeah.
And they look like they must have eternal youth, right? Is what I'm guessing.
Well, I mean,
guy's an old dude.
We already have dwarves. Why not? Elves.
Well, it's not traditional fantasy dwarves.
I know. I was.
They're no shit. Real life dwarves.
Making a joke, goddamn.
But this guy's old. The guy just hanging there is old.
It makes you wonder how old he actually is.
I think he's a wizard of some sort.
I agree.
So he's a wizard.
That was
my
thought. I'm like, he's been there a long time.
And Bran's crawling his way up there to him, and he's like, "I'm going to give you the thing that you've lost." And he's like, "You're going to make me walk again?" He's like, "Oh, no, you're not going to walk." But you'll fly.
Yeah.
And Bran's like, "Oh, wow." So, you know, I think the thing that he's lost, he's referring to as men have lost, is magic.
Yep.
So he's going to restore magic to men. Now, I don't know if this guy's human, just like an old wizard human that's made himself one with this tree, or if he's some kind of children in the forest. Or something else, you know, but he's obviously, I think he's going to restore magic. Bran is going to be some kind of magic user floating around firing fireballs.
I think he's going to warg into a dragon. My vote's a dragon warging.
Well, I think in the future he might warg into a dragon. Maybe Drogon comes over. Maybe that's where he's going.
Maybe that's the call.
Drogon's
been sent.
Been called.
Yeah, the call's been sent.
Far to the north. That could be. But I think, yeah, he could fly. Do you think that the fly is a foreshadow of him warging into a...
Yep.
Like a permanent warg, like he becomes one with a dragon?
I don't know, maybe just tied like a saddle.
Tied to it. You mean like a dragon
tied to
rider?
The dragon, yeah. Dragon
Be rider. A dragon rider of Pern or like a dragon lance
yep.
type guy.
Maybe. Did you see Jorah like that?
I don't know.
His old like, armor and everything?
I hope he gets turned into some kind of like super, you know, archmage. Just goes around shooting fireballs out of his fingertips.
Yeah.
You know?
I
that
agree.
Will fucking wreck some, you know, that'll do some hellacious damage to White Walkers.
I absolutely agree. That's what I'm hoping for.
That would be awesome! Now, if they can just get to that point really quick so that we can see it in action next
That's
season.
That's what I wonder, because
how long is
Jojen helped out with his lessons, right? So, obviously, Bran's there to learn something, right?
Yeah, he's on it.
I don't think it's going to be quick.
Most of the Starks are on some kind of learning journey.
Yep.
So...
Arya.
Rob failed in his learning journey to become king. He died. Sansa's learning to become Machiavellian.
Peter. Baelish.
Yeah.
She's already
so Peter is her tutor. Arya's already gone through several tutors, right?
Swordmaster.
Well, it started with the first Sword of Braavos.
Yeah.
And then it continued with the Faceless Man. And then it continued with Sandor.
All warriors.
So, you know, now she's definitely on her way to the Faceless Men.
Yep.
Which we'll get to here soon. And Bran... He's on the path of the wizard. So we have...
So maybe that's why they...
The schemer. We have the schemer, the warrior, and the wizard. It's kind of the three Stark paths right now.
Yep. Well, that makes me wonder. Then, if Bran's going to be there doing lessons, maybe they don't want to show those. So maybe that's why they kind of... Maybe there's a contract thing, you know, let's go ahead and get rid of Jojen and the character so we don't have to pay that actor for just being there to learn, like, just... The few scenes that
oh,
they show.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know, man. But whatever it is, I hope it's fast. Because their journey to get to this tree has been arduous and painful.
Agreed.
For a viewer.
Agreed. Because, I mean...
And I think that's
we
exactly...
About this, that's we talked about this last episode. You have episode 2, you have Joffrey dying. What has been happening in the entire interim up until the point where the Viper dies, right? You have Tyrion on trial. You have everyone traveling.
Journeys.
Yeah. That's it. That was completely it.
And I think that's exactly why they did the not-in-the-book scene, between, you know, where Jon and Bran are at the same location at the same time, even though they don't see each other. Because I think they did that to spice up all the, you know, it's like, bring some excitement to it. But it was really kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
So, it looks like Bran's going to become something. When we go back to the Vale, we see that Brienne and Pod have lost their horses. So, Pod's not learning very well.
Nope.
He did the figure eight hobble or something like that, just like Brienne showed him. But Brienne's like, if you did it the way I showed you, we'd still have our goddamn horses.
And we don't.
And he's like, well, maybe there's some thieves. You know, some thieves took him in the night. And Brienne's like, it's like 10 fucking miles at a bloody gate. So Brienne and Pod are walking. And then bam, I called it. Brienne.
You did call
and
that.
Pod intersect with Sandor and Arya. And Sandor's, like, taking a shit off screen or something, right?
Cause oh, yeah.
She's practicing the water dancing, and then she sees them, and she's like, people's coming. People's coming.
She notices that, you know, she's a knight,
yeah.
Or she's something knight-like.
You can take a shit some other time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, she asks. She's like, are you a knight? And she's like, no. You know, I'm Brienne of Tarth.
I think
Lady Brienne of Tarth.
She liked. I think she liked Brienne.
She did like Brienne, I think. What it is her future, right?
Yep.
So Brienne's carrying a sword, and, you know, she asks. She's like, can you swing that sword? She's like, yeah. And she's like, well, who taught you? And she's like, my dad. And they kind of have a similar story, right? So they both were tomboys growing up and wanted to fight fight just like the boys. Both their dads were like, you can't do this because you're girls. But they're like, fuck that. We're doing it anyways. And both their dads were like, okay, well, if you're going to do this, you're going to be good at it.
Yeah.
It's a similar path that Arya's on. And of course, you know, they have the sharing of the names, Oathbreaker and Needle, right?
Yep.
And then Sandor comes out, and Pod recognizes Sandor. You know, that's Sandor Clegane.
And they're like, oh, crap.
And then it's all done, you know, like, bam, bam, bam. Brienne's like, you're Arya Stark. She's like, I made a promise to your mother, and my mother's dead. Where were you at? And she's like, well, you know, I was doing some other shit. And Sandor's like, you get paid with Lannister gold. And they're all, like, right about each other, even though, you know, like,
I said this was completely.
If Sandor
I
was
like
just
this is completely needless.
Yeah, if Sandor was just a little bit more, you know, because I think Brienne would have paid for Arya.
Yeah,
been like, okay, I will pay for her. You know, it's like, what's her ransom? I'll pay it because you know Brienne of Tarth. They're not.
Yeah,
they're not known for being poor. Of course, you know the rumors are lies. They're not full of because remember that Jaime.
Yep.
Told some bullshit. But, you know, she could have probably funded that. You know, like, yeah, I'll pay for that.
Yeah, and I think she would have at least, she would have had everything she had.
I think Sandor, you know, Sandor was afraid that she's there for his head. And then they faced off, and it looks like those wounds didn't make Sandor as good as he could have been. I don't know if he'd fully recovered, but they're almost equals, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Brienne of Tarth
ferocity there. Yeah.
Barely beats him into submission.
That scene where she's just screaming and punching him in the face.
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, this is fucking awesome. And she's like, she pauses when she has him. She's like, I don't want to kill you, Sarah. And he's like, I'm no fucking knight. And he, you know, he's like, grabs that sword with both hands.
Yeah.
And then she, yeah, so they start tumbling and she picks up a rock and just screams and beats the shit out of his head. And then he tumbles off the side of a short cliff. I mean, it wasn't a steep cliff, but it was a cliff. Ends up with a broken leg. And then Arya sneaks away during the fight, and Brienne and Pod's like, where is she at? I don't know. And they go off in one direction, and then Arya goes to see Sandor.
Yep. This is the moment we were talking about.
Yes. You called this.
Yeah.
You called this. Not you thought that he was going to die from the infection, right?
Yeah.
But no, he's dying from a broken femur, which, you know, he's right. Unless there's a maester hiding around a rock over there, I'm done.
Just as bad.
So, and he goes, I think he goes to.
Maybe the infection's what ultimately killed him.
Made him less capable as a fighter? Could be. But Brienne's no slouch.
No.
You know, and she's big and tough. So, you know, he's talking. He's like, all right, I've had it. Go ahead and come over here and kill me. Mark another name off your list. And she just sits there and stares at him. And he's like, what? Am I going to have to beg? And he tries to make
she would kill him.
He tries to make her angry, right? Saying, you know, I should have fucked your sister. And when that doesn't work, he's like, what? Do I have to beg? He's like, come over here and finish it. And then she walks over there and you think maybe, but she just takes the silver, right?
Right out of his boot.
And she eventually walks away. And he's, you know, screaming after her, finish me. Just fucking kill me. So, yeah, wow.
Yeah, I totally thought she was going to kill him. I'm like, that's how she's going to mark the name off her list.
Maybe his name was removed from the list already. They had some kind of relationship going. I'm surprised that she didn't take mercy on him and actually kill him.
Maybe it's not about just killing them. Maybe it's about vengeance, like total vengeance.
It is about vengeance. The Hound killed the Butcher Boy.
Yep.
Her friend.
Yep.
And maybe if he hadn't said that shit about the Butcher Boy stinking up his horse and about how he, maybe she would have just ended it quickly for him. But, you know, he had to be a dick. I think that's what it was. You know, he ended up having to be a dick. Okay, you're going to be a dick? Fine, then you can just suffer.
Yeah.
And she walks away.
Absolutely agree.
So maybe if, you know, if he had changed just a little bit.
I was, after I see the mountain lion, I'm like, okay, so Sandor is the one that, you know, has to kill the mountain. Kind of what I was thinking. But nope, doesn't look like he's going to be the one to kill the mountain.
Nope, yeah. Maybe Arya will kill the machine.
He's on our list.
He is on our list.
I think it's going
to
happen.
Maybe. She'll be the one. Maybe she'll be the one and it'll be to her advantage because she's using a skinny blade. I don't know. Who knows? We got a ways to go before that happens.
Yep.
So after she leaves Sandor to die, we go back to King's Landing and Tyrion's in the dungeon. And of course, you know, the door is open. He's like, just fucking get it over with already, right? Because he thinks it's the executioner or something. But it's not. Who is it?
It's Jaime. Absolutely Jaime. I figured.
This is what I wanted to see. This is pretty good. This is exactly how I wanted this to play out. You know, Jaime and Varys, right? Because, you know, Jaime's like, look, you know, Varys is helping and you have more friends than what you think. Escorts him to the tunnel to the top, right? Where there's a ship waiting for him. But Tyrion's like, nah, fuck that. I have some fucking scores to settle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the fact, though, that it was Jaime that's bringing him. I'm like, that's the only character really left for that.
Well, Bronn could have, right?
Yeah,
but he's been paid off. Yeah. And he's a mercenary, so he's doing.
I don't think he would.
What comes natural to him?
I think it was the scene, or I think the fact that Cersei, the way she came in and it was all over Jaime, I think that might have what made his mind to kick off the whole rescue thing, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, oh, crap, now I actually owe it to my family. Yeah, he is my family. After he, like, kind of was fully forced to admit that. And
right. Yeah, and I don't know if it was Cersei that did it, but I think he loves his brother. And he doesn't want to see him die. And it's bullshit. He knows it's bullshit. So Tyrion goes not to escape at first. He makes a visit to his father, right? He pays a visit to his father, and he expects to see his father in bed, but who's in his father's bed?
It's Shay.
It's fucking Shay, and she's calling, you know, she thinks it's Tywin. She's like, oh, my lion, but then she turns around and sees it's Tyrion, and she grabs a fucking knife, right?
Oh, yeah, she tries anyway.
So they struggle. He knocks the, you know, he's small. It's hard for him to do this kind of shit. He knocks the dagger, the knife out of her hands, and then ends up grabbing onto her gold necklace. Yeah. And pulling down until she chokes to death. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. And then he's like, I'm so sorry, and starts crying. That fucking sucked. Because, like, I'm glad Shay is dead. Don't get me wrong. I've been wanting that bitch to die because she's a horrible character. But what are they saying here? I mean, because this whole time she's like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'll stay no matter what. And then the moment he sends her away to protect her, she turns. Was she always in Tywin's pocket?
That's what I'm wondering. Was she, at the very beginning, has she always been in Tywin's pocket? Maybe it was Tywin's way of watching over Tyrion to make sure he...
Or like, another trick, right?
Yeah, because he sent him back to King's Landing. Like, he met her in Tywin's camp before Tywin was the Hand when he sent
Tyrion. Yeah, but she was the whore of some other dude.
Yeah.
But then didn't they find out about he was sleeping with a whore and then Tywin threatened him? Maybe at that point he got control. I don't know. But the whole fucking Shay character sucked. Just saying. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. But I'm glad she's fucking dead, though. So after he chokes the life out of her and sheds some tears, he sees the crossbow, right? Is that Joffrey's
I think that's Joffrey's crossbow.
Is that Joffrey's crossbow? So he takes the crossbow and that's
some
the,
poetic justice.
The winch, right, for the crossbow. And I guess he just guessed where Tywin is at. He's taking a post-coitus shit. So he walks to the bathroom, and there's Tywin sitting on the shitter. I think I called this. So a few episodes ago, Tywin's like talking to Tom, and people die all the time. You know, they die on the shitter. And I was like, oh, I hereby proclaim jokingly, but you know, I still called it. I called it. So Tyrion confronts Tywin.
There is no more fitting place for the like absolute Lord of Lannister to die.
That's right.
Than on the
this
ship.
Is great. Fucking awesome. This is worth the Joffrey scene, death scene. Yep. Or two.
This is Tywin's sweet death vindication.
Yes, it is
that
awesome.
I have been looking for.
Yes, it is awesome. So Tyrion confronts Tywin. you sentenced me to death even when you knew I was innocent, because he's been banging Shay, right? So he knows. He knows he was innocent. Still sentenced him to death. And Tywin tries to backpedal. Oh, you know, and in fact, I almost believe him.
We'll just go back to our chamber and talk.
Yeah, he's like, do you think I'd actually let him kill you? That wasn't going to happen. Do you think he was telling the truth or just trying to save his ass?
I think he was just trying to save his ass.
I think he was telling the truth, because I don't think he believed Tyrion had it in him to shoot him with a crossbow.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, I think...
After some of the other things he said.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tywin did not think Tyrion was ever going to pull that crossbow. So I think he's right. I think he was telling the truth. He's like, you were never going to die. I was going to have... You know, the king was going to show lenience at the last minute, I think is what's going to happen, was his plan. He was going to go to the Night's...
Still going
to
send him to the wall.
Yeah, so... Look how masterful, except for Tyrion. That was a master plan. He got rid of Martell, who was out to get him.
Yep.
And he was going to get rid of, it was all going to come into play. He was going to get rid of Tyrion without killing him, because he's probably going to, the king was going to grant mercy in the last hour, right? Send him north in Ice Watch. Everything's perfect. Everybody's alive. Tyrion's suffering in the north, out of his hands. Tywin makes a mistake. What was his mistake?
He called Shay a whore.
That's right.
One too many times.
Yep. And he's like, say it again. And then... In some conversation, like, he doesn't say it, and then he just kind of drops the word, right?
Yeah.
Bam. So he shoots him once, and then shoots him again, dead on the pod.
I don't think Tywin was walking out of there, whether he called Shay a whore or not.
I don't know. I think he may have walked out of there. I think Tyrion may have put a bolt into him.
You think he won him over with, you're my son. You think that may have been the case? Because he said that directly. That's probably the first time.
Right. Well, and then, you know, he shot him and said, you're not my son. He's like, no, I'm your son. I've always been your son. In fact, the person that you've made is the person here holding the crossbow right now.
Yep.
You know, Tywin would not be dead if it wasn't for shitting on Tyrion all the time. So, you know what's funny about this is that Tyrion is Cersei's saving grace. I guarantee you the only reason she's not going to marry Loras is because Tywin's dead and Tyrion is the person who made that happen.
Yep. You see the rest of the scene, right? And Tyrion getting loaded in a box by Varys. Varys immediately goes, what have you done?
Yeah.
And then gets loaded into the box and gets shipped off of the ship.
Varys is getting ready to go back in the city, right?
And then the bells start ringing.
And he's just like, oh, fuck, I can't go back.
He's like, oh,
because you know, because what that means is Cersei's in charge.
Oh, yep.
And that means Varys is dead.
Yep.
So Varys just turns around and goes and sits on top of the box.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Which is great, because now we'll have Varys in a new place, and hopefully we can see him do some shit with Tyrion, right? So it'd be the Varys-Tyrion show.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. Yeah, the question is, where are they going? Are they going to Dorne?
Bravos.
They said Bravos. They're going to the Free City. That's right. So Varys, Tyrion, and Arya.
Do you think Varys,
are all going to be in...
Varys and his little birds? Maybe he's connected to the Faceless Men.
Oh, I'm sure he knows about it. I mean, you know, he has spies everywhere. But the question is... Yeah,
I wonder if he's directly connected.
Are they going to hook up with Arya when she's there?
I don't think so.
And then it'll be the Tyrion and Arya show. How cool would that fucking be?
I'd enjoy that.
So they regroup, and then Tyrion... And, you know, Arya gets her training. Tyrion amasses some kind of, you know, influence or resources. And then they go and seek vengeance together.
Sweeping across Westeros.
The dwarf and the child. Yep. The dwarf and the child assassin. The Imp and the Assassin.
I don't think that'll happen for, like, I think it's...
Yeah, it's probably a pipe dream, but that would be pretty fucking cool.
I think,
cool.
At the very least, if it does happen, it'll skip forward a couple of years or something.
It'll be pretty fucking cool, though.
I can't see...
And we got those three players in the same city. Surely they'll cross paths somehow.
The only thing, I think, what are the fucking implications for the Tyrells? What are the implications there for Tyrells?
So, it's going to be the Tyrells versus Cersei.
I don't think Cersei's coming out on top there.
Nope, because here's the thing. So Tywin was the thing holding all that shit together.
Yep, he's the only one that can match.
It's his presence. I think merely by his fucking presence and will was that shit being done. Because the Lannisters no longer have a source of money. Their gold mines are done. What is Cersei going to have to keep control of shit? All she has is Tommen. And Tommen, we all know how boys go. So they totally forget about their mothers once they have another kind of female. I'm just saying, you know, I mean...
Agreed.
That's a hard battle to fight.
Yep.
And the Tyrells are fucking wealthy. So I imagine that they're going to spend their influence to basically buy control of the Kingsguard. I mean, because you have Jaime. He's there. But I don't think Jaime's interested in fighting a battle with the Tyrells.
Nope. I wonder if he ever jumps in to save Cersei, if anything.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But King's Landing is in dire straits. The crown is in debt up to its neck. The Iron Bank has funded a whole nother contender to the throne, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're in dire straits. What the hell's going to happen next? in King's Landing. There's not a whole lot. Really, I'm not interested in King's Landing at this point at all.
Agreed. I haven't been for a while.
Except I want to see Cersei die. Other than that, I don't care. But the question, you know, what's going to make... I don't see the Tyrell... Well, the Tyrells did poison Joffrey. So who knows? Who knows how that's going to play out? We cut back to the Vale for the final scene, and we see Arya riding a horse to the docks. Some city's docks. Some town's docks, right? And these guys from Braavos are packing shit up. They're like, fuck this!
Yep, time to
go. Time to get the hell out of here, man. There's no money to be had here, and she's trying to buy her way on, right?
And he's like, we're not going north. She tried to go north.
Yeah, that's right. She tried to go north.
I think she would have, yeah, she probably could have got on pretty quickly if she
would. Right. She wanted to go north, but the Braavos, they are not going north. Nope. They're going back to Braavos. And as soon as they say that, she's like, click, click, well, I'll go to Braavos. And then she hands her the iron coin, right? And says, Valar like, Morghulis.
What's good? How good is an iron coin?
Yeah. And then he sees it's the iron like, coin of the this? Faceless men.
Valar Morghulis.
Yeah. And then he's Valar Dohaeris. And she's on the ship.
Yep.
The closing scene. She's,
and she gets a cabin.
She runs up. Yeah. I imagine they treat her pretty well.
Yeah.
So she's on the prow of the ship as she's sailing towards the Free City Braavos. And that's where the season ends. So what do you think about the episode?
I liked it. It closed. It actually restored some of my faith.
Yeah, I think that was worth 4 Joffrey death scenes.
Yeah, I agree. 4 minutes of Joffrey death.
Yep. It was even better. It was even better than the last episode, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
So, because they wrapped up a shit ton of story, and you know, I think what's different between this episode and previous season 10's episode is that all the other ones were kind of lackluster. They just kind of gave you a status update before the next season. Like, this is where everybody's at. But this actually got shit
closed.
Done.
Yeah, closed some plot threads that it definitely needed to close. Yep. I feel like maybe that's been my problem. The whole thing about the Viper dying was like, you mean we waited 7-8 episodes for this?
Right.
Like, and it's like, that's the best you got?
Now, overall as a season, I think this season was not the strongest season overall. Had the strongest, probably the strongest finale.
Last couple episodes.
One of the strongest penultimates, right? Definitely, like, I think that was the best. So the last two episodes of this season are definitely two of the best episodes of all of Game of Thrones. I think the season as a whole isn't as good as the first season. First season was fucking outstanding.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, it kind of redeemed itself there at the end.
Agreed.
And I'm looking forward to, in another 10 months, season 5!
So, I don't know. I feel like I don't see that many plot. I mean, they got to start introducing some new characters.
They got a whole mess in the north to figure out, right?
Yeah.
So what's the Wildlings going to do now with Stannis? What's Stannis going to do in the north? Arya and Braavos. Tyrion and Varys and Braavos. I'm totally disinterested in what's happening in Slaver's Bay, and I'm totally disinterested in what's happening in King's Landing. I am interested to see what they do with the Mountain. Because I think that's some Dr. Frankenstein shit, and I love that kind of stuff. The Mountain may become my new favorite character, even though he's a big giant dick. Or one of my favorite characters.
We'll see.
So yeah, we'll see. I definitely look forward to seeing more Faceless Men. We need to see more of our namesake.
Yes.
In the series.
Yep. I want to see what happens in Braavos. I want to see all 3 of those plot lines. I actually do want to see what the fallout is between the Tyrells and what's left of the Lannisters.
You're hoping for a Lannister eradication, right?
Yes! Fuck yes!
I would be alright for Cersei to die if Jaime and Tommen survived. As long as Cersei's the only thing left down there that I want to see die. Jaime could die and I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit one way or the other. But Cersei, I definitely want to see die.
And finally, I feel like Jon's, like, the reason I don't really care a lot about Jon Snow is it feels like he's, because of his oaths to Night Watch, he's tied. He is tied. I cannot...
When he interviewed Thormund, right? So he...
Tormund.
He talked to Tormund because he asked him, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to say any words? You know, we're going to burn your people's bodies.
Yeah,
you
basically, say any words? What's the normal...
And he's like, what words? And he's like, you know, I don't know. Do you have any things that you say when people die? And he's like, well, dead people can't hear us, man. He's like, all right.
That's a very Wildling view of that. I like that. It shows a little bit of their culture.
I like it, too. Yeah, I like Tormund. And, you know, Tormund... Does Tormund ask about Ygritte?
Yep.
Yeah, and he's like, she loved you. And he's like, she told you? And he's like, well, no, the only thing she talked about was how much she wanted to kill you. So, you know, that I know she loved you. And, I think you know, because he tells him, oh, yeah, we missed this part. So he tells him that Ygritte's body belongs in the north, the real north. So, you know, and then we see Jon pull her body out there behind her and set her on her own pyre and burn her in the woods. But Tormund asked him something, you know, he's like, so, you know, what are you, you know, your king's here, right? Or whatever. And Jon said, you know, I have no king. And he's like, that's a
wildling mentality.
That's a very, you spent too much time with this, Jon. He's like, you know, that's a wildling thing. He's like, you've spent too much time with this. I like Tormund. I hope they let him go.
Agreed.
I don't want him to die. I want him to survive and fucking bring death and glory to Southerners. Seriously.
I agree. I hope I can see. I would love to see him with Stannis.
I would like to see him kill Stannis. But yeah, I hope we see more Tormund. I don't see I don't see them keeping him around like this unless they're going to keep him around.
Yeah, agreed. Because I mean, at that point,
unless it's to illustrate
contracts and
unless it's to illustrate Jon's, I guess, evolution. So Jon's a man of the Night's Watch, but he has some new values, I think.
Agreed. So that's why I'm wondering.
Here's the thing. So the Night's Watch's duty is to keep the darkness at bay, right? And the darkness is the White Walkers. It's not really the Wildlings. They've been fighting the Wildlings all this time, and that's not really their fucking problem. It's the White Walkers. So if keeping the White Walkers away requires him to go south, then I see that maybe he would do that. Because in the end, because it's kind of like how Sam brought up some shit, right? Hey, this is what the vow says. It doesn't really say that we're not supposed to have sex. Maybe John's going to have some new interpretations of the vows. The black. So this is what the black says, and I'm keeping to my vows by doing this.
You think that vow means uniting all of Westeros?
I think they have to, north? Right?
Yeah.
They have to. That is the end, right? So the end game is that the end game is the White Walkers come.
So do you think John will go south with Stannis? That's what I'm kind of hoping. Maybe. That's what I'm hoping.
Maybe.
Like, I don't see much advancing along the wall.
Maybe to broker some kind of, you know, like, I need men type shit. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Sand the Wall is a dead man's game.
Agreed.
Especially if they just leave the Night's Watch. And, I mean, what's Stannis going to do now that he...
That's what I'm wondering. Is he going to take the Night's Watch with him? Is he going to staff Castle Black and the rest with wildlings?
I don't know. I think his ultimate goal was to remove another contender to the throne, right? The king... Beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Need to get rid of the king beyond
but
the wall.
But I don't think...
But Melisandre...
Yeah, I don't think that's Melisandre's goal. That's not Melisandre's goal. She's the one who's, like, kind of pulling those strings.
I think Melisandre's goal is to... maybe Melisandre's eventual all-time goal is to defeat the White Walkers.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe she's not that bad.
She just uses... She's more of the ends justify the means type of gal?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think that still makes you a bad person.
I agree. So, I absolutely agree. I mean,
So there's a lot to contemplate here. So what is Stannis' goal here? What's Melisandre's goal? What's Jon's future? There's a lot of shit happening in the North that I think is really interesting I want
to
see.
Agreed. And I'd like to see that. The only storyline at this point that I kind of don't care about is Sansa.
Well, are we going to see the other Stark child? Rickon?
I don't think so.
And Osha? What the fuck happened to them people?
I don't think so. They're in Braavos. Maybe Arya will meet up with them.
Oh. Was that where they were going?
I don't know.
They just kind of left, right?
I thought they were headed down to Riverrun with the Tullys.
Oh, that could be.
I thought that's where they were going.
So there's a bunch of people that we didn't catch up to with this season.
I don't think we'll see them again.
Blackfish. So we don't know what happened to the Blackfish or the Tullys. We never saw any more of the Freys.
With Rickon.
Yeah, we never saw any more of the Freys. Some things that are still... What's going to happen between Baelish and Sansa at the Eyrie? What's going to happen with Yasha and the Greyjoys? What are they going to do against the Boltons? What are their plan? I mean, he's obviously secured the North, but what's his next plan?
Yeah, and how's he going to react to a Stannis?
Yeah.
Coming south.
Exactly.
If Stannis comes south. Right. I don't know what Stannis is.
I think he's going to want to come south. So you have the Boltons, the Greyjoys, the Tullys... The Freys obviously in Lannister pockets, but Riverrun may recover at some point in time, and the Tullys are still in charge of it. The Lannisters versus the Tyrells, are there any more Martells going to come in? So, like, Oberyn's family, what are they going to fucking do? Are they going to react to Oberyn's death?
And if so, how?
Right. You know, what's Dorne? What's Dorne's role in this? And then we have Varys, Tyrion, and Arya in Braavos, and then we don't know what the fuck's going to happen to Jorah. I can't see them just writing off that character he rides into the sunset.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how is Dany going to get out of Meereen?
Maybe we'll see Jorah meet up with Tyrion and Varys.
Ooh.
He was working for Varys.
He was working for Varys, that's right.
So maybe he bumps into
Where did Drogon go?
the dragon. Also Braavos. Yeah.
Also Braavos. He's going to go fuck up the city. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, there's, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that we missed in this kind of, you know, like, outstanding, what the hell,
yeah, recap.
Threads that are outstanding. What are the White Walkers doing?
I don't know. They made one slow advance.
They made one new White Walker. That was, like, their story this season.
Yeah, let's.
The baby.
And a slow walk south.
What's going to happen with, you know, Bran and his shit up north, way up north?
Yeah, the only storyline I'm actually completely disinterested in is Sansa. And even then, just Sansa.
Just Sansa.
I want to see what Baelish is going to do.
What's Baelish going to do? Yeah.
But I don't really care what Sansa does at this point. I don't feel like she's a player. I don't feel like she's a power. I want to see Cersei die. I care less about Jaime. Tommen, I hope nothing bad happens to him.
Yeah, you know, he's not done anything. His character is just kind of background filler, right?
So yeah, can you see Stannis killing him if he grabs the throne? If he makes it that far?
Killing him? I don't know. Imprisoning him? Yes. Sacrificing him at the stake? Yes. Just outright killing him? I doubt it. I think that whole power base is going to crumble. I don't think it's going to have... Stannis won't have to lift a finger. It's going to implode. Or the Tyrells are going to take over. Yeah, I don't... It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know how that shit in King's Landing... mostly I'm worn out in King's Landing. That shit wears me out.
Agreed. I mean, well, you had how many... You had like six episodes with just Tyrion on trial. It's like, is that really necessary?
Or Tyrion in the dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, it's the trial of Tyrion.
And there hasn't been... There's been nothing going on there. They're all stationary. It's like watching Dany.
Yeah, because, you know, between... Except for the power struggle between Cersei and Margaery, there is not a whole lot
happening. There we go. I hope Dany somehow kills Cersei. I don't know how. But I hope that happens. I could see that. And like a straight up brawl.
Maybe Jaime kills Cersei.
That would be fantastic, too. I'm telling you, I think that... That was a little bit of the catalyst for his character.
Yeah, I don't think that was. Because if anything, that was a catalyst. If anything, it would make him not want to help Tyrion escape.
Just despite Cersei?
No, I'm saying, because really if Cersei's influencing him, the influence would not to be to help, would not be helping Tyrion. It would be against helping Tyrion, right?
Unless he's going the other way. Unless he hates Cersei.
Well, it didn't look like he hated her.
I know. That's the weird thing.
Thrusting his hate into her over and over again with madful glee.
Yeah. I'm not going to touch that one.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all I have to say on the subject. Want to wrap up?
Yep. Oh, so we're thinking about doing a book podcast, if anyone's interested.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, if you're interested in... We haven't really named it yet, but I think we're going to call it something like Your Book Sucks or... or fuck your book. I don't know, something that I go on iTunes, but still says, you know, basically we're the hater book club. The name is up in the air. However, you can find it on our website, www.madbrewlabs.com, and maybe we'll do some kind of promo or something we'll put in this feed so that, you know, to remind you if you're subscribed. But in a couple weeks, we're going to start a new podcast where one of us picks a book, we read it, and then we come back and hate on the book, or maybe love it, whatever.
But, you know, that way, Mad Brew can tear apart my favorite book, and I can tear apart his.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what it's going to boil down to. One of us is going to love the book, the other's going to probably hate it. Until we find, if we ever find the one book that we both like, it's probably fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to trade off books, because I know there's a bunch of shit that Jesse doesn't like, or he says he doesn't like, but I think he just needs to read a good example of it. And then maybe he'll like it more, and I think Jesse probably thinks the same, because, you know, I've been on a fantasy hate trip here recently, where it's just like, I'm burnt out on fantasy.
I'm pretty sure I have a book you'll love. Yeah.
So, but I think I'm probably more eclectic than you, overall.
Probably. I read a lot of sci-fi, I read a lot of fantasy.
I read sci-fi, I read fantasy, and I've been on a thriller kick here recently.
I'm not a fan of thrillers. Every one I've read, not enjoyed.
You just haven't read the right ones. And then, I'm telling you, they're good stories. And then, you know, I like graphic novels. I think I'm going to throw a graphic novel your way, because you're famous. I don't really care about it. It's not that you hate comic books, it's that it just doesn't interest you, right?
Absolutely.
And...
What is I told one of our illustrator friends who is really into comics, don't muddy my book with your pictures. Yeah,
It's a whole other animal. It's not a... Sequential narrative is a whole nother animal, and I really like it. And so I'm going to give you some what I think are some of the best examples. but maybe shorter, you know, because there's some really long graphic novels that, well, even the long graphic novels don't make up a book. So we don't know what the frequency will be. We don't exactly know the format yet, but we're going to be covering books and then rating them.
Yep.
And hating on them.
Most likely.
So we're going to be doing that. So pay attention to our website, and maybe we'll throw a promo into this feed to remind you. But yeah, so we're going to be another podcaster in a couple weeks about books. And with that, thank you for following us this season. We've increased, I think the first day we had something like 200 downloads. First day. This time we're getting like 1,000 downloads first day.
Yep. Thank you to everyone who's listened to us.
A few grand across the week. So
I hope we've at least been somewhat entertaining.
So I know a lot of people hate us. They think that we're the hater cast because, you know, we don't do lip service to the fans. But we really do love Game of Thrones. And we'll hope that you come back next season and listen to the Faceless Men covering HBO's Game of Thrones. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Megulis.